To the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host of the program, but more importantly, a father of five. Raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where we homeschool them in a time where 40% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. That is 41% this year now. 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. And 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex. Of course, socialism going through the ceiling since George W. Bush and Barack Obama joined forces and brought increased levels of socialism here. The largest socialist voting base in America, single women. That's right, single women. Those who are independent are the ones who are voting socialist. And that was what tipped the balances on socialism when Barack Obama was elected president of the United States just, a year and a half ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is what's happening with the nation. We're losing our faith, our family, our freedoms. But the hope for America, the hope for reversing these trends, I tell you right now, the hope for America is Sarah Palin. Let's just say it, guys. As far as any conservative is concerned who has any kind of airplay and may have a shot at winning the presidency in the next, 2 to 3 years, Sarah Palin doing really, really well right now. And, of course, I was curious when she spoke to a group of Minnesota feminists in Minnesota just a day or two ago. And it was interesting to hear what she had to say, because I think she nailed it, friends. I think she's got a pretty good grasp on what's happening right now in conservative Tea Party politics. She knows what she's saying here. She said it exactly the way I would have said it, Dave, except for one or two little corrections here. But she's right. Women do predominate now in the conservative movement far more than they did in the 1970s, 1960s, 1950s. You look at your average Republican group, Tea Party group, you're going to find a lot more women than you did back in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. Way more women trying to conserve the republic. Women tend to be somewhat conservative. That is, they want to retain something of the previous generation's legacy or heritage, and they're trying their best to do that, friends. There are far more conservative women out there than ever before. But of course, this is because over 150 years society has broken down. It's inescapable, friends. We are breaking down as a society. And by the way, if you want to look at the future, down at the high school where we worship on Sundays, we rent it from a public high school, and there you've got pictures of the student government, and you'll see 17, 18 women and three little boys acting like two-year-olds, of course, as the pictures are being taken. And this, of course, is a picture of the future of the nation. Far more women will be involved in politics and leadership, at least for the next 10 to 20 years until the entire republic collapses. But at the end of any republic, as the men are busy playing their video games while Rome burns, women will do what they can to retain some semblance of order in society. But things are broken down, folks. It took 150 years for this to happen. It gradually broke down through the 1800s. Of course, you had drinking problems in the large cities with men running away from their homes and so forth. But you get into the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, and men continue to walk away from society's issues, society's problems, and men are breaking down. Now, Dave, I've got a problem here. I think she's right in the fact that she believes that men aren't interested in leading, and women are doing way more than men in trying to conserve whatever the previous generations have given us. But here's the problem I have, is she's excited about it. She really is excited about the fact that there's no man out there that really gets anything done. She's excited about the fact that behind every good productive man stands a very surprised woman. I mean, she loves the fact. She appreciates the fact that the average man out there is a slug. He doesn't have any vision for his family. He doesn't want to lead his family. And he would rather play video games while Rome burns than to get up and do something to salvage civilization for his family and for future generations. She likes that. Or at least she doesn't think that that is fundamental in the breaking down of society, or that's fundamental in the fact that 40% of little girls are having children out of wedlock, and 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. She doesn't see that to be a problem affecting economies, affecting society, affecting civilizations. She thinks that she can fix a few things, but she's putting band-aids on open wounds, on severed limbs, friends. She's showing up where 60 to 70% of society has been blown to bits with a basket of band-aids, and she's going to solve the problem in Washington, D.C. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. She has no idea how bad things have gotten. She thinks things are just fine, and she's going to fix things in Washington here in just a few years. Give her 2 years, three, 4 years, and she'll have it all wrapped up. All wrapped up. All wrapped up. Folks, the problems are that the foundations have been destroyed. And you're not going to fix it by changing the window coverings in Washington, okay? You're not going to fix it by changing the window coverings in Washington. The foundations are destroyed, and the 40-story building is leaning over about 40 feet and is about ready to go kaboom, okay? You're not going to fix it by changing the window coverings. If she doesn't have a clue, I don't think what's happening socially with the nation.
What she has is a self-fulfilling prophecy. She says that behind every successful man is a surprised woman. Well, a man will live up to the expectations of his wife, by and large. If a wife expects her husband to be great, he will live to those expectations. Her honor of him is what he will endeavor to do, to fulfill that honor. Do you think Martha Washington was surprised that George was a great man? You think Abigail Adams was surprised that John Adams was such a great man? I don't think so. What happened is these men lived up to the expectations of their wives. Sarah wants to fix the problem by the very situation that created the problem. More feminism. The reason that men are not leading is because women stepped up in the feminist movement, and men still wanted to be gentlemen and not argue with women. And so they advocated that position because it was a conflict with a woman, something they were taught not to do, and men let the women lead. More women leadership will not create more men leaders. More women leadership will get more women in government and less men. And let's be clear here. It was the feminists that pushed the social agenda. It wasn't the men who voted for Barack Obama, by and large. It was the women who said, "My husband's a lout. I need the government to be my husband for me." You're not going to fix the problem by putting more women in power. That is half the problem.
Don't forget that the largest socialist voting base in America are single, independent women. Single women. And the percentage of households led by single women is through the ceiling, friend, thanks to these ideas, thanks to the fact that there are no men. The men are gone. And fatherhood is degraded. And there are no visionary fathers to speak of. It's a sad, sad situation for the nation, friends. And while we're talking about that, though, again, this is the hope for the nation, friends. I'm not saying don't vote for Mrs. Palin when she runs for president of the United States. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is the hope for America right now. And it may be the best window coverings you're going to get on an empire that's collapsing. Well, let's take a look at what's happening with her daughter, Bristol, because I think this is important, Dave. It gives you another idea of what's going on with our nation right now. Bristol Palin is now doing ads for the Candies Foundation, and this is a very interesting ad campaign. I wasn't aware of it until one of our interns brought it to my attention. Amazing what's happening here with this ad campaign. They're featuring Bristol Palin, and their whole idea is to encourage children who are engaging in sexual activity to, quote-unquote, pause before you play. I want to play one of these commercials in just a moment. You got to see this. I don't want to play all of them. There's some of them that I wouldn't want my children watching. But I do want to play the one featuring Bristol Palin in just a second. But here's what their website says about the Pause Before You Play campaign. Pause to think about your future. Before you have that sexual encounter, pause to think about your future. Pause to think about consequences. Pause to evaluate your relationship. Pause to delay sex. Pause to get a condom. Pause to ask, why now? So again, the point here is you just take a moment and think about what you're doing. And their themes are, I never thought I would be a statistic, not really the way you pictured your first crib, not what you had in mind for your first set of wheels. That is, they gave you the little baby carriage thing and said, your first set of wheels, you know, you really weren't expecting to get a baby carriage out of this. You think that having a child, or you think that being in school is a pain in the neck. I'm putting some of the words here, but if you think being in school is a pain in the neck, you ought to try having a kid. And here's another one. You thought your parents were controlling. Try this, having a child, and see how controlling that child is going to be in your life. You're not going to be free to do whatever you want to do in life and to be whatever you want to be in life. Here's another one. Be sexy. It doesn't mean you have to have sex, but I suppose it might help. Be smart. Doesn't mean giving up your education. Be smart. You are too young to start. You know, on and on. You see, again, the whole idea here, folks, is you want to be that independent woman who has control over her future. You're the existentialist who's going to make your own choices, determine your own future, and that baby is a pain in the neck. And having babies is a pain. Now, fornication is okay. Use a condom if you do. This is, again, what Bristol Palin is getting behind here. And this is, I believe, the Palin legacy. The problem with our society, our teens having children. Now, never mind the fact that Mary very well might have been a teen when she had Jesus. Never mind the fact that hundreds of millions of women have had babies in their teenage years since the beginning of time. Babies are sick. Babies are horrible. Babies are the worst possible thing you could ever have in your life. It's fornication that's wonderful. It's being sexy that's great. It's using condoms that's a good idea. Folks, pause before you play. Pause to evaluate your relationship. Pause to think about your future. I'd say pause to think about this verse. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What about that? Pause to think about this verse before you play. The fornicators shall have their part in the burning lake of fire for eternity. Revelation chapter 20. Pause before you play. I'll think about this verse. No fornicator shall enter the kingdom of God. Pause before you play. Dave, I think the bottom line here on these campaigns is they're just worthless. Utterly powerless to change teenage behavior. Utterly powerless to deal with the fundamental problems that is breaking down society, producing society where 41% of kids are born without fathers, where 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex, where half of marriages end in divorce, where the shack up rate is through the ceiling, where society is coming apart, where socialism is the only possibility for independent women who have no husbands, no fathers, nobody who cares about them, nobody to whom they're accountable sexually, and will understand that God's word is the ultimate standard. Nobody really teaching them that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, not the fear of sexually transmitted diseases, or the fear that somehow you're going to have a baby is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the sex ed class. No way. The foundations are destroyed. What do the righteous do? They run for president of the United States and have their daughters run around on the Candies Foundation telling kids not to have babies, but sex is okay. I don't think so. Friends, society is falling apart, and I think they're refusing to deal with the root problems. The foundations are destroyed. What do the righteous do? But we're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a moment. And I'm going to look at what's happening with the Catholic Church in just a moment. Stay with me.
Christian Home Educators of Colorado invites you to the Homeschool Day at the Capitol. On Friday, April 16th, join homeschooling families from around the state as we focus on this year's theme, Heritage and Hope. Take part in events centered on mining Christian nuggets from Colorado's history. Come to the noon rally on the west steps of the Capitol. Keynote speaker is Bill Armstrong, former U.S. Senator and President of Colorado Christian University. Support homeschooling freedoms that Colorado families have defended for over 25 years. It's all on Friday, April 16th. Other activities include workshops for all ages, Capitol tours, and home education displays in the Capitol Rotunda. Students may also register for the Future Statesman's Program and art contest. Join us for the annual Homeschool Day at the Capitol on Friday, April 16th. Workshops are at the Pillar of Fire Church, located one block south of the state capitol in Denver. Register online at CHECK.org. That's CHEC.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson talking about rebuilding the foundations at a time when 41% of kids are born without fathers, and Bristol Palin is out there pausing before she plays. Dave, I just can't believe we've got evangelicals out there, and they are committed, apparently, evangelicals, and they're participating with the Candies Foundation that refuses to in any way condemn fornication, and are just contributing, I think, more and more to the problem.
Well, they're actually seeking a more fulfilling fornication. That's where you don't fornicate with people like Levi Johnson, who turns out to be a real schmuck and says bad things about your family and doesn't support you and runs away. And yeah, that kind of thing. But I have a better campaign, and I think it should go like this. Pray before you play with your spouse.
And
maybe,
I like
maybe
that.
Maybe God will bless you with children.
Right.
Maybe God will bless you with children.
So pray before you play with your spouse so that God would bless you with children. Wow, that's a different worldview. A diametrically opposed worldview to Bristol Palin and the Candies Foundation. I love it, Dave. Why don't you approach Candies Foundation with that approach? Hey, guys, why don't you pray before you play that you'll have kids? Oh, whoa, cool. Great campaign, friends. Because, hey, that brings a lot of important things together. Number one, God considers children to be a blessing. They're not a curse, so that you can get on with your career and make your $42,000 a year and pay your taxes. And then maybe the government will take care of you with social health care. Okay, that's the other worldview. Anyway, I promised I'd talk about the Catholic Church because we're kind of an equal opportunity program here on the Generations broadcast. The Vatican has forgiven the Beatles. Now, I think this is significant, friends, because the Beatles, of course, were leading the sexual revolution. I mean, 6% of kids born without fathers until the Beatles showed up. And it is true, the 60s were the sexual revolution, and the Beatles were the pastors, the shepherds. They guided us, they gave us our teaching, our art forms, and they took us from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Let's Do It in the Road, and that's pretty much the way the 1960s went. But the Vatican has come forth and forgiven the Beatles. At the height of their fame, the Beatles enraged the Roman Catholic Church by famously declaring they were bigger than Jesus. Their enthusiastic pursuit of the drug, sex, and rock and roll lifestyle also did little to convince the Vatican they were anything other than a thoroughly bad influence. But now, in a move sanctioned by the Pope, Benedict XVI, the Catholic Church has offered the Fab Four its official seal of approval, forgiving them their various excesses and even lauding them as a, quote, precious jewel. In the front page article of the Vatican's official newspaper, offers a glowing assessment of the Beatles' achievements 40 years after they split, heralding their beautiful melodies and begging the question, what would pop music have been without the Beatles? In an astonishing turnaround, the church dismisses previous moral outrages, including blasphemous remarks, drug-taking, even decimation of satanic messages through their music, and they have offered the band complete absolution. So the Beatles are going to be in heaven when we get there. So
they don't have to go to purgatory at all?
I complete absolution. I mean, that, to me, is significant. Now, this is a new story, so I don't know. Folks, but here's where I really want to go on this. The sexual revolution, what did it produce? It produced the Beatles, obviously. It produced 41% of kids born without fathers, Bristol Palin, and the Candies Foundation, and a lot of sexual abuse. And, Dave, I don't know how to bring this out on the radio program, but yesterday, I was on news site after news site after news site, and I kept reading the headlines. Priest sued for sexual abuse at gunpoint in San Antonio. Notorious Irish Catholic pedophile priest found dead. It was Bill O'Reilly, Fox News. He's a Catholic, wants to remain a Catholic, and he says just jail Cardinal Law for his pedophilia cover-up. And then we have the Denver Post front page. I mean, I'm going down to Safeway with my kids last night. Front page! A Denver priest is accused of molestation again. And then you have the German stories, and then you have the Irish stories, and then you have, I'm worn out. I am worn out. Now, granted, there's another article I just saw, it was headlines on one of the news stories, a sex abuse scandal has some victims compared to what happened to the Catholic Church. At least 36 swimming coaches now have been banned for life by the USA Swimming Organization. The coaches have molested and abused dozens, according to the court records, interviews conducted by ABC News for reports Friday on World News with Diane Sawyer in 2020. So on and on and on and on it goes. Dave, it's overwhelming to see this, and yet I was thinking about this historically. I mean, again, we are reaping the whirlwind, friends, reaping the whirlwind. What happens when in the 1950s and 1960s we get the sexual revolution? What would happen? What would happen if a world went from 6% of kids born without fathers to 41% of kids born without fathers, thanks to the fornication that's everywhere, and the divorce problem, and the shack up rate through the ceiling? What would happen to a society like this? 20 times more sexual abuse happening in these homes, and these broken up families, in these single parented homes, and I don't even want to talk about homosexual homes, but 20 times more sexual abuse and physical abuse than in the two-parent family, per the government's own studies. We've talked about this a number of times on this program. But why? But why? But why? Why the sexual abuse? I'll tell you why the sexual abuse. I'll tell you why the molestation. I'll tell you why it's happening. Because the gates are wide open for sexual experimentation thanks to the sexual revolution back in the 1960s. And Dave, I'm going to add to that the boarding schools. Now, the boarding schools in the 1800s were a bad idea from the beginning. But you add the sexual revolution to the boarding schools and throw a couple of Catholic priests in the middle of those boarding schools in the 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s, what are you going to get? Somebody with a brain, add those facts together and figure out what you're going to get. Of course you're going to get these sorts of things. And you know, years ago, they didn't even talk about this stuff, Dave. People didn't even talk about this. It's sort of like homosexuality. Nobody even wanted to talk about it. When sexual license continues to move the boundaries of what's acceptable to talk about, to suggest, to experiment with, we wind up talking about these things on our programs, and our children wind up seeing these things in the grocery store as we walk by the newsstand. What am I supposed to do, cover their eyes so they can't see these horrific things? Dave, I also did some research. I went through many, many, many old newspaper headlines over about 20, 30, 40 years, from the 1920s to the 1960s. And Dave, I couldn't find headlines like these. I could not find a single headline that talked about the molestation of children. And then I came to one in 1960. November 17th, 1960, I found my first headline. Okay, now, we see it every day now. You see it every single day now. Are y'all with me here? I see it every day. Fox News, WorldNet Daily, I just read those. And Denver Post yesterday, front headline, big 400-point font. Priest is out molesting. Okay, this is common news today. But in 1960, Chicago Daily Tribune, November 17th, I read this. A former mental patient was identified in 6 kidnappings. Weber admitted kidnapping Peggy McCarthy, 7 years old, near her home Tuesday. At a show up yesterday, she identified him as a man who dragged her into his car, drove into the Robinson Woods Preserve, where he stripped her of her clothing. When chief of detectives asked about the fact that he did not otherwise molest the girl, Weber replied, "My conscience bothered me." Dave, I read that. My jaw dropped. A newspaper article where a man had a conscience. I haven't read the word conscience in a newspaper for 20 years. The word conscience hasn't even been mentioned in the newspaper. People don't have consciences. They don't talk about conviction of sin and guilt anymore. They haven't for 20, 30 years. We're beyond that, folks. 30, 40 years beyond the idea of conscience. And here you have the worst story you can find in a Chicago newspaper in 1960, where they wouldn't even... The worst possible guy you can find in the 1960s, in the early 1960s, this is before the Beatles. And, of course, they've been absolved, I know, by the Catholic Church now. But here you see, I think, tremendous restraints on society, folks. Tremendous restraints on society. People didn't even speak of the sorts of things that we speak of today. Now, of course, today, much of the Catholic Church is very syncretized with whatever's happening in the world. And again, I think the evangelicals have done the same thing. But again, for the Catholic Church, if it's voodoo in Haiti, you see voodoo syncretized into Christianity or Catholicism in Haiti. If it's sexual freedom in America, Germany, Ireland, we see sexual freedom syncretized into the way that priests operate in the Catholic Church. I mean, they syncretize. The faith has syncretized. And so this is what we get. This is what we get. We get lots and lots and lots of syncretization between the church and the world out there. The church, Dave, I think, is following the pathway of the world. The world has changed tremendously in 40 years. I've made that point. But, Dave, the church is just following right along, whether it's Bristol Palin or Catholic priests. I think the church is wrapped up in this system, and we are conformed to this world. We have not been transformed by the renewing of our minds. And, Dave, let's just say it. It's not just the destruction of the family. It's the destruction of love and relationships. We're trying to bring truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. But the world can't configure love outside of Eros. See, a lot of the Christian world is 1,000 miles away from the true relational phileo agape love. And the best we can hope for, I think, is to stay far away from each other in cold institutionalized worlds to avoid the possibility of Eros. That's why you don't want any kind of a young man trying to disciple other young women or even young men, because He thinks in the terms of eros. He doesn't understand phileo love and agape love. But what does the Bible say? Ephesians 5 and verse 2, folks, I want you to go away with this today. This is very important because this stands in direct contrast with the filth that we are seeing in the Catholic Church and in the world around us. Ephesians 5, 2, walk in love, not eros, walk in charity, walk in agape love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So walk in love. And then he says, but fornication and uncleanness, let it not be once named among you. Not even once as becoming saved. You don't want even one, not even one instance of fornication in your church. Not even one Bristol Palin. Not even one priest. Not even one pastor in your church. Now, again, if you're starting to get these things, and Christ can pull his candlesticks wherever he wants to pull them and not call you whatever you've got together a church, but he doesn't want you to have even a hint of sexual immorality. Now, this is important because if you're going to have agape love, if you're going to develop relationships, if you're going to have discipleship, if you're going to have close relationships developing and there is a trust developing in those relationships and the discipleship you're doing, whatever you do, you cannot afford a single instance where sexual immorality destroys the pastorate, destroys the churches, which it has in the evangelical world and the Catholic world. Ephesians 5:11, look at verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Dave, and I tell you what, I feel like I have to take a shower after some of these programs. I feel like I have to take a shower after seeing the headlines of the Denver Post speaking of yet another Catholic priest who's done whatever he's done. I feel like I have to take a shower because it should not even be mentioned with us. We shouldn't even speak of these. It's a shame. It's an embarrassment to even have to speak of these things. And yet the world has affected the church in tremendous ways, folks. And I think it's because the faith is breaking down. The faith is breaking down. We don't have real meaningful community and accountability happening. The overall standards of society have loosened to the extent that now it's affected the world. And there's no real environment in which children can be raised in a trusting relationship with their own parents to speak openly with their own parents about the things that are happening with them. All of this creates a recipe for abuse, friends. A recipe for abuse. So that's my conclusion. I think we ought to bring love back. And fornication should not be mentioned among us. That, my friends, is the vision we get from God's Word today. I hope it helps you. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at hostakevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime.